The investigations in this case found that both the IO and his supervisor had neglected their duties. Neglect of duty means the failure to take proper action to perform a required task. Penalty for neglect of duty depends on the officer's degree of culpability and the harm caused by their actions. Penalties can range from a reprimand, a financial penalty, to demotion and dismissal from service. The maximum financial penalty imposed under the Public Service Commission Delegation of Disciplinary Functions Directions is a fine equivalent to the stoppage of increment for 2 years. There are, of course, more severe penalties possible under legislation, and that really depends on the conduct. The IO who handled the police report handled it as a routine theft case, and it was so. But there were some lapses. The lapses include the fact that the IO did not visit the scene of crime promptly to carry out investigation and gather evidence. This contributed to a break in the chain of custody for some exhibits. Second, the IO did not properly verify some of the claims made by the parties during the investigations. Third, his supervisor did not provide sufficient guidance, which contributed to the lapses. The IAO also took into account the intense pressure under which the IO was working under. He was handling many ongoing investigations, prosecutions, conducting arrest operations at the same time. I have spoken before about the workload challenges that police investigation officers face. The only way to deal with this is to increase police headcount. We have not solved that issue yet. It's a difficult problem, not easily solvable because of the general manpower shortage. In the event, a financial penalty equivalent to the medium range was imposed on both officers for neglect of duty. The Public Service Commission, as the authority for disciplinary control of civil servants, has concurred with the penalty imposed on both officers. As I said, the two police officers were doing their jobs under difficult circumstances, and up until this incident, they have discharged their duties, dutifully, one could say. I have sympathy for the situation they find themselves in, but they have fallen short of expectations, and they have been dealt with in the way other officers have been dealt with, would have been dealt with in similar circumstances. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Zukonin.
Thank you, Minister, for the clarifications and the answer. I'm heartened to see that we are putting our officers at the heart and front and center of the things that we do, even during investigations. Our officers are all human beings, and they face pressures of family, professionally and personally as well. I'm heartened that there is some form of review on the workload distribution and the manpower challenges. And in this regard, may I ask if there are any avenues for our officers to actually escalate the pressures of the workload or the stresses that they're facing at work and elsewhere within the institution of the police organization and the investigation body. So whether or not there could be a bit more support in terms of counseling, mentorship perhaps. I note that the supervisor in this case have been found to have lapsed in his supervision, but could there have been other channels of oversight or avenues for the officer to escalate his stresses and the pressures that he may have faced? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I'll make 2 points in response. First, we put the officers at the heart of what we do because there is something even more central and fundamental, which is public interest. The officers are there to serve public interest, and when public interest is affected in some way, we have to take action. But the institution can only do well if the officers are treated fairly. The officers have to be treated fairly so that they can do their job and so that public interest, which is the fundamental, primary, central goal is achieved. So it's not putting officers above the public, but serving the public through making sure that there is a strong institution. And in order for there to be a strong institution, there have got to be good officers who know that they will be treated fairly. So that's the approach. On the second point, how do we take care of the officers? There are many avenues. You know, in every context, there are officers, senior officers, who are tasked to take feedback, collect, understand, and in fact, part of leadership that is being emphasized, not just in the SPF, but in other places too, is to make sure that the morale of your officers remains high. Surveys, both the internal surveys as well as independent surveys, show that the morale of police officers is high, and the public confidence in the police force, despite some scurrilous attempts by some third parties to continuously run down the police, remains extremely high. You know, a Singapore police officer, contrary to the way people perceive police forces in many other parts of the world, the Singapore police officer is held in very high esteem, very high regard. And we have to continue with that. As to whether we can do more, I have explained the difficulties. I mean, the fundamental difficulty is there aren't enough officers. And there is only so much more that you can do when your central problem is that there is more work that can than can reasonably be done by the workforce we have. And I've said we do our best in those circumstances.